Before I say hi to you, I've got to encourage you to come here, Gorgeous George. We go way back with him. I was at John Brown Military Academy on a wrestling team there, and I used to hitchhike into Long Beach, California, and go to the Long Beach Arena and give George fits. He would come out with his group of people all wearing these robes, and one guy would have a flit sprayer. You know those old flit sprayers that sprayed for mosquitoes? And he would go down to Tijuana and buy for a quart of this perfume. He'd pay a dollar. So you knew it was great stuff. And he would have that guy coming ahead of him spraying this. And I would stand up right over here to the side and I'd say, "You big panty waste." I'd say, "Why don't you fight like a man, go down these little feminine things." And he would sneer at me and growl at me and challenge me. And, of course, I never got close to him. Guy was a good wrestler. But the pastor says that he now has an artificial hip. Well, I can whip him now, I know. Yeah, that's the old George. He's wrestling Satan and doing a job for Christ. God, I'd like to hear him again. He's quite a guy. Marie and I are so glad to be here. So glad to be back. And it's just like my home church in a way, because I don't really hardly have time to be in one. And now this place has become very, very good to me. We appreciate you people so much. We're looking for a church revival meeting. We're going to start out with Psalm 92:12. If you open your Bible, we'll take a look at that. Psalm 92:12. Psalm 92:12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. We're going to stop right there and just examine this a while. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Almighty God, this is what we want to find this week in the hearts of all of our people. The problem with our lives today, they become so involved in things that are not important. May we flourish like the palm tree. And God, may we never be the same when this week is over. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. My dad said, about 7 years of age. I can't remember my age, but I remember this incident very, very clearly. We had a palm tree. Dad had almost 4.5 acres of what he called the forest. And what it was every tree that was known to man. There was one of them planted there. And Dad liked this business of all kinds of fruit all the time. California, you have bearings of fruit over and over and over again in the year. And Dad had a palm tree that got sick. It began to cast its fronds before it was supposed to. And Dad realized he was going to lose that tree if he didn't do something about it. So he called a tree surgeon. Now, this is true. A tree surgeon came down and he looked at that tree. Now, this man was an atheist, a confirmed atheist. And Dad always tried to witness to everybody that stepped on that farm. Somehow he would get a witness in. But this man wanted none of it. He just said, "I'll settle on your tree and I'll fix that tree, but don't talk to me about your Lord. I don't believe in that." He talked to Dad about the palm tree and he said, "There are distinguishing differences in all trees, but of all trees, the palm tree is unique to itself." And Dad said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, there are certain reasons." Now, he gave 7, Dad said. But I remembered 5. It was so interesting when he talked about it. He said, first, the palm tree grows in the midst of other trees, but will never cross-pollinate with them. Now, if you have a Satsuma plum and a Damson plum, and you want to see what those two together could do, you take a slip off of the Satsuma plum and slip it into the damson plum, and out of that limb that grows will come a fruit that is a mixture of the two. Now you say, well, what did you do with the fruit? Well, mostly we gave it to hogs. It was not fit to eat. But Dad was curious what the tree would do. Now you can't do that to a palm tree. If you have a palm tree, it's distinguished by the fact that it never, never changes and never, never adheres to the growth of other trees. Never will. And that's what the Christian ought to be like. We're in a midst of compromise in Christian churches all over America that's really breaking my heart. I've been in this work a long time, and I'm seeing it come completely around now and start over again. We've got things that we didn't have when I started preaching. We didn't have a television. We didn't have these other things. This is new to us. And we have found that back in the old days, Mother used to listen to Lum and Abner on the radio. Today, there's filthy, lousy soap operas. And we can't get some of those grandmothers that used to be the mothers out to church anymore. They're too busy with that stuff. The righteous should never compromise where they live. Never. You don't have to. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're made of a better stuff than that. He made you over again, Jesus did, when He redeemed you. He took your sins away and put in your heart a song, and we should be singing that song. And we should not go back to the world. I'm of the opinion, as we listened a little bit to the lesson today in the class here, I'm of the opinion that Christ could come well before I die. I believe that Jesus Christ could come at any moment. In fact, that's the thing I keep telling people. They say, have you planned your funeral? I said, why? It's a waste. I'm not going to be here for my funeral. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be in heaven. We should live that way. We should never compromise. Many times I've talked to young people who say, the reason I got off on this is I went down here to this group and tried to help them spiritually, and I found myself entailed in the things of the world again. That's how the devil works. The righteous never do that. If they really want to live for Christ, they flourish like the palm tree. Now, let me say something about this tree just a moment. The palm tree is a tree that bears fruit all year round. We used to go to revival meetings. We would leave. Marie and I would go through San Bernardino, California, hit the desert and head out toward the mid-country here. And as we would go through, we would look and we would see these trees, palm trees, everywhere you looked. These palm trees were barren. Down below here, you had the stands, the Virginia Dare stands and these other stands that would sometime have dates on them. But when we go by there, these things were just sitting there. There was no dates at all. We would come back maybe 4 weeks later and they'd be selling dates. The palm tree just continually bears fruit all year round. And a Christian should bear fruit all year round. You should never, ever, ever think of not being neighborly to your neighbor. And yet I'll tell you right now, I've asked people to stand up and name the neighbors on both sides and across the street and behind their house, and they can't do it. We don't know who our neighbors are. We don't know the names. We don't know the problems. And here we are being placed there by God Almighty in that community. And you know it. And we're not producing. We should be bearing fruit. The palm tree bears fruit all year round. And let me tell you something else about the palm tree. The palm tree cannot be grafted. Now, when you graft a tree, as I say, you slip a slip into the limb of another tree. You can't do that to a palm tree. It is a tree that is distinguished by the fact that there's no other tree like it. That's why he said, like the palm tree and the cedars of Lebanon, both these trees are very interesting trees, but the palm tree more so. It never, ever takes a graft from any other tree. You can't take a certain palm tree and graft it into another species of palm tree. It won't take. But you can do that to almost any tree. Now, here's another thing about the palm tree. The palm tree, and only the palm tree, will survive the worst conditions, when trees should not be growing at all. We would come back from a revival meeting one time. Marie and I were looking up in, we're going through Utah. And we looked up into these beautiful mountains of sandstone. And I said, Marie, look up at the top of that mountain. She said, what is it? I said, see that little tree? That's a palm tree. And here was a tree that grew out this way and then turned to the sun. And was growing into the sun. And she said, well, what's it doing up there? And I said, well, I'm no prophet, but I'll tell you what happened. I said, usually it's a crow. A crow will steal anything. You know, they'll steal whatever they can and take to their nest. I said, a crow probably got a date, the seed of a date, and started back and dropped it, and it landed up there in that crevice. And then the wind blew some dust up there, which settled down finally to dirt. And then it started to rain, and that thing sprouted. And there it grows. There it grows. I was looking at it. I said, I bet there's not 6 inches of soil that thing's sitting in, but it's going to grow. It grows into the most adverse conditions. And every one of us as Christians, that should be our testimony. That when God saves us, He gives us the courage and He gives us the assurance that He'll be with us all the way to the end of the age. And there's no reason for us to fear. There's only reason for us to rejoice in the Lord and do the job that He left us here to do. And the most adverse conditions, the better for the Christian, folks. Look at me just a minute. Because you can take what they give you here. Your neighbors and friends, they can turn on you here. But God never turns on you, and that's where the time is going to be spent, not down here. We're here for but the flick of an eyelash. We spend our time with God someday in His presence. Now, I know a little bit about what I'm talking about today. You see, I went to John Brown Military Academy. My dad sent me there. You say, why? Well, you won't think much of my dad, but Dad was right. I was an inventive type of a fella. Whenever there was work to do, I invented ways to do it easily. So I did not exert myself. And I had to milk 3 cows before I went to school every day. And Mother would come in and say, son, it's time to get up. Well, now, it was cold in El Monte, California during the springtime, especially. It got very cold. And I didn't want to step on that linoleum floor that I had in my bedroom. So I took an old fishing pole to Dad's. It was broken on the end, and I cleaned it up, and I put a line in it. And I tied that line to a coat hanger that was made into a grappling hook. And I sat in bed, and I'd cast that thing into the closet on the floor to get my clothes. So I wouldn't have to step on the floor. And Dad heard that thing banging. And he came in and he opened the door. And he says, that does it. He says, you're going to military school. And yeah, this is morning now. And that afternoon I was in San Diego at military school. Dad kept his word. But here I went from a godly home, folks. My dad not only was a pastor, he was a tutor of the things of God. And my mother was a saint if I ever met one in my life. And those two had taught me and taught me and taught me and taught me the things of God. And here I was tossed to the dogs. You see, back in that day, if you were a juvenile delinquent and you were to go before a judge, he would say, all right, 80 days in the cooler or send him to military school. Okay, $100 fine or send him to military school. So military school was equivalent to punishment. When I got there, I found out that that was not a Christian school. John Brown was the evangelist. That was his school, but it wasn't Christian. That was worse than the public school that I came out of. But I found out this. Everybody in that school tested you to find out if you were a Christian. And I knew what I was going to face. And I faced that for 3.5 years. And I mean this. There's times when I wanted to swing and I didn't swing. There's times when I wanted to grab the guy, but I didn't grab him. I tried my dead level best to exemplify what Christ wanted me to do. And little by little, they left me alone and began to ask me questions spiritually. And I began to tell them the answers that Mom and Dad gave me from God's Word. And I went through that, and I thought, I passed the test. Now God's going to have easy road for me to go. I joined the Navy. I was wrong. But I went to military academy. That was a thing I had no jurisdiction over. But when I went to the Navy, I did. That was my choice. I went to the Navy and I found myself with a whole bunch of guys in the barracks. And I went around talking to them, asking them if they went to church, if they had accepted Christ as Savior. And I got very few positive answers. And finally, I thought, okay, I'm going to be out of here one of these days and on a ship. And everybody's going to be friendly with me then. No. I got on the ship and they were worse than the other two combined. And you say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. God sifted me. He tested me. I guess He just wanted me to find out if I was going to serve Him or not. Because everything I did backfired. I did not win a soul to Christ aboard ship. And I talked to everyone, 352 other guys, captain down to the very lowest one of us. And I asked every one of them if they'd ever accepted Christ as Savior. And I got 34 to say they had. And I started a Bible class on that ship. And in 2 months, I had one guy with me. And I'm not that bad a teacher. They just went off into the easy directions. Cigarettes were 10 cents a pack. Beer was free. You didn't have to pay anything to sin, to get into trouble. That just came along with being in the Navy. And I resisted it. I've yet to ever touch a cigarette, and I won't touch one. I've yet to ever take intoxicants, and I won't take them if I know about it. And I went through it, and I found myself alone on a ship with over 350 guys on it. Now, I don't know whether you can visualize that or not, if any of you have had that experience. But I remembered what my dad taught me, and I remembered what my mother taught me, and I remembered what I had read in God's Word, and I remembered Stan Sundin, our Sunday school teacher, how he told me over and over and over again that it takes a little bit of guts to be a Christian, but it's great reward if you'll stand for Jesus Christ. And when the thing was all over, well, bless God, I walked out of that thing, war over, going back home. Not one single person accepted Christ under my ministry during the war years. Now, would that encourage you? I don't think so. I know this, I did my best. Then I went back to Bob Jones, and here we started our ministry, Marie and I. We're heading across Louisiana, trying to get across that state before we have to pay for the gas. It's worse than it is now. In Louisiana, it was terrible. And I wasn't going to make it, so I pulled into a gas station. The guy came out, and I said, would you fill her up, please? He said, okay, Shuler. And I whirled around. I said, well, Sturdivant, Glenn Sturdivant, he was in my radio shack. I said, Sturd, I said, what are you doing here? He says, well, Schuler, I'm working. I'm going to Bible school. I'm going to be a preacher. I said, you what? He said, I'm going to be a preacher. Put his arm around my shoulder and he said, buddy, I appreciate your stand aboard ship. Never got away from it. Marie and I have met six of them that have been saved. And the thrill of it is, folks, come September, there's a reunion of the USS Hawking APA 121. That's my ship. In Washington, D.C. And I'm going to get to go and look at some of those other guys and try to win them to the Lord too. Folks, listen to me just a minute. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and the palm tree grows under the most adverse of conditions. It should not discourage you when things go wrong. That's nothing but testing from God. He knows what you can take. He won't let you go beyond it. There's no temptation taken you but what is common to man. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation offer you the means of escape that ye may be able to bear it. I'm a testimony to that. But I'm telling you this, if I did not have the inclination of the palm tree, I'd have been blown over long, long ago. For it takes something to stand against the wiles of Satan. Let me tell you something else about the palm tree. The palm tree grows fruit through old age. Now, how many of you have received dates from California or elsewhere? Florida has them. Have received dates that were from Virginia Dare or something like this from some of your relatives or friends. Have you ever received it? Have you noticed that golden yellow cellophane over it made everything look so beautiful? Remember the configuration of the grapes? You have maybe around the very outside row, maybe 40 to 50 fingerling dates. Little fingerlings about that size. Don't bite into them, please. You'll lose your teeth. You say, why? Because they're all seed. There's hardly any meat on them, just a little skin on the outside. Now you come to an older tree, and they'll put out ones about like this, and there's quite a bit of meat to it, and the seed is very slender. You get to the oldest tree, the ones that are aged, and they're like this. You won't even find much of the seed left in that. It's a little sliver. It's all meat. In other words, the older the tree, the better the fruit. I talk to little kids a lot. I love children. And I'll say, hi, why are you? How'd you get here? I'm on the bus. I'm a bus kid. Oh, I know a lot of bus kids. I know a lot of them that are in the ministry today. You do? Yeah. Does your mama go to church? No, mama doesn't go to church. Is she a Christian? No, she's not a Christian. Well, your grandma? Oh, grandma's a Christian. Yeah, grandma's a Christian. She prays before we eat. And grandma gives us a verse every now and then. Yeah, grandma's a Christian. Well, why don't you have grandma bring you to church? I can't get her away from the television. No, this is true. I'll say, what? I can't get her away from the television. She wants to watch that all the time. But I get to go to church on the bus. Kid has a chance, but not as much of a chance as if grandma brought him to church. You see? So the older you get, the more you should be in the center of God's holy will and doing what He asks you to do. The righteous shall flourish as the palm tree. I wonder if you examine yourself right now, if you are flourishing like the palm tree. I wonder if your life is a life of opportunity when it comes to the unsaved about you. that they will hear at least what a Christian's language is like and what their invitation is like. I wonder, as we go through the life that we're living here, if we can ever say one of these days, I'm going to stand before God and not have to dip my head down in shame over the way I live before my friends and neighbors. I think we ought to think about that. This week's, tonight now I'm giving my testimony. They asked me to do that, and I'll give my testimony tonight. But during the weeknights, please, please think about this message. Are you flourishing like the palm tree? Are you doing in your life what the palm tree does in its life? Very few references to the palm tree, only 3 or 4 in the Bible. Deborah prophesied under the palm tree. Palm fronds at the feet of Jesus when he went into Jerusalem. And just a very few. And the mentioning of the palm tree, therefore, is important. I wonder if we resemble that palm tree. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, please. Almighty God, I want to ask you today to take this service over. This has not been a dramatic message. This has been at least an opportunity to observe truth come about the palm tree. And we as righteous people should flourish like it. I ask God that you might touch our hearts. So many people today attend church, but are not attendant to the Word of God during the week. They're not touched by the Spirit of God that is within them. They just have pretty well put Him aside, and they're doing their own thing during the week. I ask God that you make us very serious here today, for we're not going to be on this earth that long. Give us the courage to flourish like that palm tree. May we stay in the area of resistance, but never compromise to it. May we never, ever in our Christian experience turn our back on the Lord in testimony. May we never buckle down and slip away to the side when we've got to stand in the gap and defend. We pray, God, that you'd give us courage. We pray that you'd give us fortitude. We pray that you'd give us direction. In Jesus' holy name, keep your heads bowed just a moment, please. How many of you are Christians? Would you raise your hands? Fine. God bless you. Put your hands down. Now this question, please. How many of you, heads bowed and eyes closed, would say right now, Shuler, I cannot honestly say I flourish like the palm tree. All of its attributes, and I didn't touch on but a few, they're available to me and I've not taken advantage of it. I want my life to count for God. I don't want to have it in my record that I sat in church and did nothing. Give us God, please, honest people in this invitation. How many of you would say, Preacher, I'll be fair with you. I need to get my heart straightened out along this line. I need to become a consistent testimony for Jesus Christ. I need to become a testimony that the world cannot refute because my anchor is in Christ. I need to have some help here. Would you just remember me in closing prayer? Would you slip that hand up? God bless you.